Welcome to Ring of Fire. I'm Farron Cousins. This week, we are actually traveling and we are not in the studio, but fear not, we weren't going to leave you with nothing, so we are doing a Q&A with our YouTube community members. So if you want to get in on future Q&As, honestly, it's one of my favorite things to do here on this program, go subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/TheRingOfFire. Keep an eye on that community page. That is where I post for questions. And just so everybody knows, we're doing the Q&A this week. Show may be a little bit shorter. As I mentioned, we're traveling. But next week is something special, folks. A good friend, a great political mind, comes back into the Ring of Fire to give us thoughts on the 2022 midterms and beyond. You do not want to miss that special mystery guest coming up next week, folks. It is going to be one of the best shows we have ever put together. But without further ado, let's head right into the YouTube community and answer some questions. Our first question comes from user Ryu, who says, Farron, do you think there will be any progress in regards to marijuana decriminalization under Biden? A year ago, I would have straight up just said, no, absolutely not. Biden's made it clear he's not going to do that. But based on what we have seen from this administration, I'm not going to give up hope. I'm not going to say at this point that this is something that'll never happen, right? We have seen Biden be pushed a little bit to the left. We have seen him do things that he had said, no, we're definitely not going to do it. And then he ends up doing it. So it is possible if we keep the issue alive. And I know that's very hard to do right now, especially considering all of the other crazy crap happening in this country on any given day, all of the other problems this country is facing. Marijuana decriminalization has kind of taken a back seat, right? You really don't hear about it as much as you did even, 6 months or a year ago. It was a big issue in the 2020 campaign. And of course, that's when Biden basically told us, no, not happening. But I think he's evolved a little bit. I think he understands that in order to win in the future, in order to have his approval rating continue to go up like it is now, he has to deliver. And he has to do things that we once thought weren't possible, like student loan debt forgiveness. Yes, he made the campaign promises. Then he did absolutely nothing about it, pretended it wasn't an issue. Then boom, out of left field, here he comes with student loan debt forgiveness. Yes, there's means testing. Yes, it doesn't go far enough, but he did it to a degree. Now, if we can push him on that, we can certainly push him on the issue of marijuana decriminalization, but we have to keep pushing. That is what we have seen. Biden responds to pressure, much like Obama did. So it's up to us to keep that pressure on him. It's up to our elected officials, to put that pressure on him. They have to do that. But we got to put it on them. They got to put it on him. Then he's got to make it happen. That's how it works. Our next question is from Orlando Lincolns, who says, hello, Farron. My question is, how do the people of our country get rid of the Electoral College for the future of democracy? In order to do something like that, we would have to have a constitutional amendment, which, of course, would require a constitutional convention. So it's a long, arduous process. It's a very complicated process. It's a process, that involves, two-thirds of the states having to get together. Then you got to get three-fourths of the state, I think it is, two-thirds of Congress. I might have those numbers backwards. But either way, we're talking about huge majorities of the country, then huge majorities in Congress to make that happen. And unfortunately, you're not going to get enough Republicans in Congress to go along with it because they understand what it means, right? We get rid of the Electoral College, suddenly Republicans are going to have a hell of a hard time trying to ever win another nationwide election. But that's exactly why we need to abolish the Electoral College. Only once in the last 22 years, actually, we can go even further than that. Once in the last 30 years has a Republican won the popular vote. Once. That, of course, was George W. Bush in 2004, which technically should have an asterisk by it, because Bush couldn't have won the popular vote in 2004 if he hadn't, you know, gotten the Electoral College bump in 2000, because Al Gore won that popular vote. So again, once in 30 years, I'll put the asterisk by it, because it wouldn't have happened without the year 2000 election. But that's why Republicans are scared of it, right? We wouldn't have had Bush won. We wouldn't have had Donald Trump. We wouldn't have had any of these massive, horrific messes that these Republican politicians have put us in if we didn't have the Electoral College. And that is quite an, you know, eye-popping thought, isn't it? All of the Trump years would have been erased. The Supreme Court would still be 6-3, but it would be a 6-3 liberal majority. Actually, if you get rid of Bush 1, too, it could be an 8-1 liberal majority. I think about that for a minute. That's crazy. Five of the justices on that Supreme Court were appointed by a president that did not win the popular vote. The Electoral College does need to go, but I am afraid at this point it's going to take more people than we have. Here's a question from Armando DVR, who says, "Hi, Farron. I want to start off by thanking you for the work that you do. It really does have a positive impact in a lot of voters." Well, thank you for that. My question is, do you think that the new voting laws in Texas, Florida, and Georgia will have a negative outcome for the Democrats in 2022? Or do you think the effectiveness of the Democratic Party, plus low approval ratings of Biden, has turned off the voters to the point where they will not even vote? I think we're going to have a little bit of both. Those new voting laws put in place by these Republican majorities in these states you're talking about are designed to keep Democrats away from the polls. So yes, they are definitely going to have an impact, right? It's impossible that they would not. The only way to overcome those, right, is to overwhelm with voter turnout. But that kind of gets to the second part of your question. In order to overwhelm them, we've got to be energized and ready to go and just, yeah, we're going to do this. And then Biden, eh. That is, I mean, let's be clear. That's what most voters think of him. The guy's approval rating is below 50% still. Yes, it ticked up 9 points once he started delivering in the last 2 months. But still, most of the country does not approve of the job he's doing. So how do we get Democrats to really get energized about this? Well, for one, we talk about the horrific policies and the, you know, culture war attacks that are stripping people of their rights from the Republicans. You know, the overturning of Roe versus Wade has led to a wave of new voters, including in states like Texas, by the way, registering with the Democratic voters, Democratic Party, first time voters that said, "I'm pissed off, young voters. I'm pissed off about Roe versus Wade being overturned. I registered to vote as a Democrat. I'm going to start voting. I'm going to change things." That's the mentality we got to have. The attacks on the LGBTQ community, that should be energizing people more than it has, right? I mean, that's a little disappointing that we're watching these already marginalized, at-risk people have their rights stripped away from them, be publicly humiliated by Republican officials, and there's not more energizing from that. That's disappointing. We need more. People get pissed off. Be pissed off. It's okay to be angry. It's okay to be mad about things, and it's okay to put that anger into action at the voting box. Next question comes from Drink Moxie, who asks, "Farron, in a recent video, you talked about how Judge Cannon should be impeached for her constant ignoring of case law and simply giving Trump whatever he wants, but you never did a video on the path to getting her impeached. So what are the options? Is it something a group of local people could initiate? Does it have to come from the members of the 11th Circuit, or would a direct party involved in the case have to initiate the process?" Thank you for asking that, because a couple days ago, I actually did look this up. Even before I saw your question, I was like, you know what? What does it take? Unfortunately, the answer sucks. But I'm going to tell you anyway. Congress. As Judge Eileen Cannon is a federal judge, impeachment has to come from Congress, which means Judge Eileen Cannon will not be impeached. And we have seen multiple instances where this individual, Judge Cannon, has absolutely disregarded the rule of law, possibly broken the law, right? We had that filing last week, the sealed filing from the DOJ that her court, oops, we accidentally made it public on our website. And it kind of shows that Trump was right about something, even though that's not what it showed. But that's how they spun it. For the record, what they did was post what the DOJ said. Hey, we have these things. We're going to give them back to Trump because they are, quote, medical records. But they're not real medical records. They're actually things that either Trump wrote himself or that he already had released prior to his 2016 campaign. So it's not like they had his most recent checkup down at the local, you know, CVS Minute Clinic. These were things that the public already knew about, and they weren't real actual medical records. But Judge Cannon's court accidentally released that, and it made conservatives say, well, see, look, they took his medical records. Just like he said, he was right about that. He's right about other things. I cannot prove that she did it. Nobody can. But by God, kind of reeks of misconduct, right? But in order to impeach her, you have to have Congress do it because she is a federal judge. And as long as you've got enough Republicans in that Senate to prevent any removal, Judge Cannon's not going anywhere, unfortunately. Next question comes from Lori Cataldi, who says, Hi, Farron. My question is why the Democrats running against Republicans never air all the bills that help the poor and middle class that every Republican voted against. There were so many. All people need to be reminded of these bills. Look, I could talk to you for the next 10 hours straight about all of the problems the Democratic Party has with messaging. They suck. Democrats, it almost seems like they love to let Republicans get the upper hand on the whole messaging thing. And just they get to craft the ideas, they get to put out the attacks, and then the Democrats are always on the defensive. And it's like, guys, you don't have to be that way. All you got to do is talk about what actually happened. Put the voting records up there. Hell, every single Republican from the state of Florida in Congress voted against Hurricane Ian aid for the state of Florida. Like, they won't even vote to help their own state. That's how psychotic these people are. But I guarantee you there won't be a single damn Democrat here in the state of Florida that puts that in a campaign ad. Because we don't want to sling the mud. We don't want to be the ones that are, you know, people don't like those kind of ads is what the Democratic advisors tell them. Bull crap. Damn near every single Democratic strategist, Democratic advisor, campaign manager, whatever the hell, they all need to be fired and never hired to work in politics again. I am so sick and tired of this, oh, when they go low, we go high type mentality. Folks, we tried it. We tried it and we ended up with January 6th. I'm done being nice. I was never nice to begin with. I'm sorry. I wasn't. I'm not. That's not who I am. When people wrong other people, I get mad and I go after them. And that is exactly what these Democrats need to be doing in their ads. But they're not. So instead, we got to wait for a Republican to get taken out by other Republicans like Madison Cawthorn. He pissed them off. So they started going after him. They started releasing all this damning information. Democrats could do the same thing, but they're not. They should be, but they're just getting some really, really bad advice from the same old advisors that have been hanging around Washington, D.C. for the last 3 decades, thinking that they're the smartest people that ever lived, when in reality, they're responsible for more failed Democratic campaigns than anybody else in the history of the country. Somebody asks here, user Capoto says, Hey, Farron, I'm with Brother Lone Wolf. Is there any reason nowadays we need the Electoral College in regard to the presidential election? No, there's not, right? There's no need for the Electoral College. And of course, this is building off the question we already answered, you know, how we get rid of it. But we don't need it. The Electoral College was put in place in order to prevent the slave states from being able to control all the elections, right? We don't want all these other people to get all the say. Slavery is what brought this on. So that's why we have it, because it was designed to prevent all of these, you know, slaves, whether freed or not, from getting too much of a say. Obviously, we don't have slaves anymore in this country. I know some Republicans would like us to, but we don't. So there is no need for it. It makes absolutely no sense. And you know what gets me about the whole Electoral College thing? The Republican argument against getting rid of the Electoral College. Because they tell us that, oh, if we do that, then your voice doesn't matter. Like that is literally the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Because with the Electoral College, your voice doesn't matter for half the country. Right? I'm a liberal. I am a Democrat living in the state of Florida. So when I vote in presidential elections, at least the last two, my vote technically didn't count because the state went red. So all the electoral votes went to Donald Trump. So I didn't have a voice. Same thing with Republicans in California or Republicans in New York or Democrats in Texas. Y'all don't matter. You may as well not vote for president, right? Because your vote is going to get canceled out and not count for anything other than a popular vote, which is just for bragging rights. But there's another argument, too, in favor of abolishing the Electoral College. Because Republicans say, oh, it takes away voices from people in the tiny states like Wyoming. Do y'all know the last time a presidential candidate held a rally in Wyoming? No, you don't. Because I've looked it up, and as far as I can tell, it doesn't exist. You know why? Because they got three Electoral College votes. What do they matter? But if it was a popular vote system, then suddenly, you know, a couple hundred thousand people in Wyoming, they do matter. So it's not just about the Democrats in red states or Republican in blue states having their voices canceled out. It's about these smaller states out there with so few Electoral College votes that nobody gives a damn about them. Suddenly they matter again. That's why we need to get rid of the Electoral College, because it gives every single person a real vote that matters and counts towards something. But as long as we stick with that Electoral College system, we're going to end up with, candidates that half the country doesn't even vote for. It's ridiculous. Next question from Envious Gaming says, hello, Farron. When you were between elementary and high school, what job did you want to have as an adult, and did it include considering becoming a politician or running for president before? Elementary and high school. All right, let's go through the list, because obviously there were a lot. Initially, I was going to be a rock star. Like 100% probably up until like ninth grade, totally going to be a rock star. I was a drummer, had a little bitty garage band. I was like, yep, this is 100% what I'm doing. Actually came close in college, actually right after college, also had the opportunity, declined it to keep doing what I'm doing. And I think I made the right choice because I was not very good. But in high school, I kind of bounced around a little bit. I loved computers. I was like, oh, I'll do computer science. Then I realized how much math is involved and was like, nope, not doing that. So then I was going to be a pharmacist. Thought, hey, you know, why not? I can do this. And then I actually did an internship at a pharmacy. It was the most boring job I've ever had. I left after 2 weeks and said, this just sucks. You're just counting pills, putting them in a bottle. Stupid. So after that, I was like, I'm going to be a teacher. Wanted to be a teacher. Loved it. Didn't do it because of the pay. So in college, I ended up taking some political science classes, loved it, kept doing it, changed my major to political science. Here I am today. So that is my evolution from guy that was going to be a rock star to guy that gets to rant and rave about politics every day. But I think it worked out. I'm happier now than I probably would be. And, you know, that's just the way it is sometimes. All right. Let me go through here. Oh, here's one. From user Skywalker says, hi, Farron, who would you want to be president in 2024? That is a great question. Who could it be? I know the answer. Like I've got the name at the tip of my tongue. And those of you who have listened to me long enough, like I'm actually, to be honest, surprised this person even asked this question, because I've made it abundantly clear. if I could pick any one person that is currently eligible to be president of the United States after the 2024 election in this country, that individual is going to be Democratic Representative Katie Porter. Katie Porter has my vote. Katie Porter has my wholehearted support. I like Bernie. I like Elizabeth Warren. I think their time has passed. They're doing great with what they're doing right now. Stay where you're at in the Senate. Put Katie Porter in the White House. Who is her running mate, you might be asking me now? Well, I'm so glad you asked. Jeff Merkley. Porter, Merkley, 2024. That is my dream ticket. Now, don't get me wrong. I love the members of the squad. I think they're wonderful. I love what they do, and I hope they continue to be in politics forever because they're great. But I also understand the damage that has been done to them by the right-wing media. And because of that damage, I don't think they're going to resonate super well with independents in this country. So I don't know that they would be able to win a nationwide election. So that is unfortunate for them. And I'm not saying that because I don't like them. I love them. Katie Porter doesn't have that. She doesn't have that baggage. Republicans have not spent years demonizing her. She has flown under the radar, except when it matters, when she has come out and hammered CEOs in hearings on the House floor. She's beat the hell out of them. And that's the kind of anger, that's the kind of spirit, that's the kind of intelligence that I want to see occupying the White House in 2024. Katie Porter is my number one pick. Here's a question from The Squirrel who says, "Hey, Farron, there's another content creator that has a style not unlike yourself. His name is Jesse Dollimore, and he does the Dollimore Daily. He was recently come down with cancer, and I was wondering if you could give him and his channel a shout-out, maybe send some viewers his way from this awesome community." Jesse Dollimore has appeared with me here on Ring of Fire. In fact, I actually just got off a Zoom conference call with Jesse Dollimore and David Pakman as well. We're scheming. We've got some things coming down the pipeline. But yes, the Dollimore Daily, Jesse Dollimore did, of course, recently get diagnosed with colon cancer. He announced recently that he does have surgery coming up. I believe it is October 17th. Best wishes to Jesse, which, of course, like I said, I've been talking with him. Like, I'm actually friends with him. So I do know him, very familiar with him. And everybody listening, go subscribe to Dollimore Daily on YouTube. He's phenomenal. He's a lot like me. So if you like me, you're going to love him. Next question says, well, okay, this is I don't even know here, but Claudette Montillis asks, "Hey, Farron, thanks for the good job you're doing. Do you think you can possibly to run for governor in Florida in the future?" No, absolutely 100% not ever going to happen. I will never run for political office. And I feel like now that I've said that, eventually I'm going to come to regret that and end up running for political office. But no, listen, George Clooney. I know it's a weird way to start this answer. George Clooney has been asked multiple times over the years, people saying, "George, run for office." And he says, "Nope, I've done too many drugs and I've slept with too many women. I'm not running for office," right? Basically saying there's a lot of, you know, stuff I've done that I'm not proud of. It's all going to come out if I run for office. I'm not going to do it. I'm not necessarily in that boat by any stretch, but the boat I'm in is that I have spent so much time on Ring of Fire for over 18 years now, mocking, making fun of, and trash talking Republicans, including in my state of Florida here. I have attacked every voter in the state of Florida about 1,000 times. I would never win because of that. And it's not like they have to go digging for this, right? You just go through this podcast or you go through our YouTube channel. It's all right there out in the open. Those would be some of the worst campaign ads against me. And I don't know how I could fight it. So that's that. Legion Anonymous asks a really a-hole-ish question, says, "Are you going to be bringing receipts and citations for any of the claims you have made this month?" Actually, yeah. In fact, if you weren't so busy trying to troll and you actually looked at the descriptions of our YouTube videos, on every single video I post, there is a link to the source. So thank you very much for that asshole-ish question, but I suggest you open your friggin' eyes and see that the receipts were right in front of you the entire time, because I don't ever do anything without providing a source. Sorry if that was a little snarky, folks, but I hate people like that. Absolutely loathe and detest them with every fiber of my being. when people are like, do you have a source for that? Yes, I do. It's in the description of every single video that I post on YouTube. All you got to do is look. That's it. That's all you got to do is look. A question here from Oscar Flores, too, who says, hi, Farron, how are you? Did you know that a local Sam's Club in Mexico was ordered to shut down over receipt inspections? I did not. I hadn't heard of that. Interesting, but I'm not sure. Again, I don't know the specifics, so okay. Pamela Cooprider says, my question is, why have gas prices gone up $1 a gallon in the last month? Oh, the answer to that is easy. Price gouging. Price gouging, 100%. And of course, now, which this happened after, you know, or it's happening in the process of after the prices went up $1, Saudi Arabia says, hey, OPEC, we're going to cut production so we can drive the cost of oil back up. So that's a factor that's going to be affecting you in the coming weeks. But as of right now, the only reason gas prices would have gone up, even though the cost of a barrel of oil has gone down, is because of corporate price gouging on behalf of the oil companies. Zach, the Celtics guy, asked me, Farron, what are your thoughts on Jimmy Dore and the likes of the Gray Zone, Mint Press News, and Further Left Networks? I'm a fan of them, but also a fan of you too. Even when I disagree with you, I still enjoy your stuff a lot. I don't like to get into attacking other people. I will say that Jimmy Dore, in my opinion, in the past had put out some decent stuff, decent critiques of the Democratic Party. I feel like now he has definitely gone off the deep end and he has found a massive right-wing audience by doing nothing except for attacking the Democrats. If you spend 90% of your time crapping on the Democratic Party, then guess what? You're a right-wing talker. That's what it is. I'm not saying the Democratic Party doesn't deserve to be criticized. Everybody listening to this understands I criticize them all the time. But if that's the only thing you do, then you're a right-wing talking head. The Gray Zone, right? They're very secretive about their funding, which automatically I don't trust that at all. Like, nope, not going to happen. They also seem to really just think that all of the problems on the planet are caused by the United States of America. Like, everything comes back to, yeah, but the U.S. screwed all this up. Like, Jesus Christ, guys. Come up with a new talking point because it's stale and boring. Mint Press News, never heard of them. So that's my opinion on those things. I do appreciate it. You know, I don't hate Jimmy Dore. I just think that he's kind of being intentionally dishonest about some of the things he talks about, right? And his whole fraud squad thing, that's ridiculous. That's totally bogus. A right-wing talking point beyond ridiculous. Douglas McPherson asks, thank you for your channel. Very informative, but done in a casual, common sense kind of way. Well, thank you. My question is, when the indictments come down on Trump, do you think there will be a full-scale cultural civil war or just isolated incidents of violence? Oh, dang. That's a good question. It's a valid question, too. I think we could see a January 6th type event where people, you know, MAGA fanatics from around the country show up in D.C. and try to do something again January 6th-ish. I think that could happen. And I also do think we will see isolated incidents. Because we've already seen it, right? That's the thing. We've already seen it happening with the FBI offices. Two different areas, idiot right-wingers show up at the FBI office. I'm going to take you down for going after Trump. And then, okay, now they're dead. I mean, let's be honest here. We're not dealing with the smartest people in this country. You're going to show up to a facility filled with heavily armed agents who have specialized training to be able to take people down. And you think you're somehow going to show up and give them what's what? No, you're going to die. And even if you're a rabid MAGA fanatical, I do not want you to die. So please do not do that, because that is what will happen. If you try to launch an assault on the federal government, guess what? Even with as many AR-15s as you may be packing, that won't take down a tank. You're not going to be able to shoot a drone out of the sky that's flying at 10,000 feet up in the air that can take you out at a moment's notice. So whatever they try will fail. But that's not to say that there's probably not going to be a body count from it, which is, again, terrifying and unfortunate. because it's not just got to be them. I do think they will kill other people. We just have to hope that the government, state governments, federal government, everybody is ready for this. And I think that is, of course, one of the things they are afraid of if they do come with indictments against Donald Trump. I think they're terrified of this thought. I would be. I am. But I think we're going to see both, to answer your question. We will see probably some action with a coordinated group of people in a January 6th type event. We will also see lots of little smaller incidents that probably end in tragedy for somebody. Ashley Young asks a question here. Says, I love your post. Well, thank you again. My question is, how would you encourage people to vote both in the midterms and in the 2024 presidential election with unfavorable candidates running in all parties? I don't want to go to the lesser of two evil arguments because I think people are tired of that and it doesn't move anybody anymore. But I do think you have to highlight the damage that the other side has done. Okay? I'm in Florida. My Democratic governor choice is Charlie Crist. I don't like Charlie Crist. Not a fan of him. Wasn't a fan of him when he was a Republican. Wasn't a fan of him when he switched to an independent because he thought that would be better for him. Not a fan of him even though that now he's switched to a Democrat. But it's either him or Ron DeSantis, so hell yeah, I will vote for Charlie Crist with a smile on my face, wear my little I voted sticker, because I see what's waiting on the other side. I've seen the damage these Republicans have done, and that's what we have to highlight for these people. That's what I do every day on the Ring of Fire YouTube channel, is highlight the damage that these Republicans have done and want to continue doing. That's how we get these people energized. It's like, yeah, the Democrat in this race, they're probably not that great, but they're also not going to take your rights away. The Republicans will. And that is the big difference. The final question, because it does relate to a little bit of what I just talked about, comes from Raptor Cloak, who says, does Charlie Crist have a chance at beating Ron DeSantis for governor, or should they have picked Nikki Fried instead? No, he does not, and yes, they should have. I voted for Nikki Fried in the Florida Democratic gubernatorial primary. I don't agree with 100% of Nikki Fried. You know, she said some things that I absolutely don't like at all, but she was still much better, in my opinion, than Charlie Crist. Polls came out last week. Crist is trailing Ron DeSantis by 11 points. And the big number that we need to be paying attention to is the fact that Charlie Crist is trailing Ron DeSantis with independent voters. Florida is a red state. So in order to win a statewide election, you not only have to have all of your party, which Crist only has 84% of the Democrats supporting him, Ron DeSantis is 92% with Republicans. So DeSantis has stronger party support. Crist does not, and because as I've said, he sucks. Yeah, the guy's a political chameleon, right? That's what he is. He changes his political affiliation to whatever he thinks is going to get him ahead. Not that that's what chameleons do. I'm just saying he changes his stripes all the time. But anyway, he's losing with independents, which means he has no chance of winning. You would have to have damn near 100% of your party support, which he doesn't, and a vast majority support of independents in order to beat a Republican. And Crist ain't it. As bad as Ron DeSantis is, and we know he's bad, he still has a 55% approval rating in this state, though. Crist has no charisma. I haven't seen a single political ad. We're less than a month out from the election. I haven't seen a Charlie Crist ad on my television once, not once. He's not out there doing rallies. He's not out there doing speeches. What's he doing? He's meeting with donors. He was in my city about 2 weeks ago, not to do a rally, not to hold an event, but to meet with some millionaires and get some money. Ridiculous. He's going to lose, which is very unfortunate, because I'd much rather have him than Ron DeSantis. But it's not going to happen. And a DeSantis victory, of course, sets Ron DeSantis up to start running for president in 2024, which means it's not just bad for Florida. It's bad for the entire country. And Charlie Crist, 11 points down, is the only guy standing in his way from making it happen. It ain't going to happen, unfortunately. Listen, that is all the time we have for this week. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. If you want to support the show, sign up, become a member, get the full show every week at rofpodcast.com. Follow me on YouTube at youtube.com/TheRingOfFire. Fresh video content every day of the week. Don't forget, next week, big, big, big guest. Somebody that I know for a fact everybody here at Ring of Fire loves. You don't want to miss it. Going to be a wonderful conversation. And in the meantime, follow me on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. I'm at Farron Balanced. Thank you so much for tuning in this week, everybody. Make sure you're tuning in next week for the special mystery guest. We'll talk to you then.